Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. This week, we're joined by Irene Buchan and Eric Ledoux, director of cloud solutions and manager of cloud sales and infrastructure as a service, respectively, for Tech Data Canada, to discuss Tech Data's view on the ever-growing cloud market. In this podcast, we get the lay of the land on the cloud market from the distributor's point of view. We discuss how Tech Data supports solution providers as they transition more and more of their business to cloud in particular and to recurring revenues in general. We'll cover off what they see as the best low-hanging fruit in the cloud market and where those just starting their own cloud journeys can come into the game. And we'll discuss the struggles many solution providers face in that journey, as well as how Tech Data Canada helps to smooth those bumps along the way. It should be a great show. So let's get right into it, my chat with Irene and Eric. Irene, Eric, thanks for joining me. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks very much for having us, Rob.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
I guess to throw it open, it's been an, I was going to say an interesting year for cloud. It's been an interesting 10 years for cloud, but especially over the last couple of years, it feels like the cloud gap that we have talked about in the Canadian market has started to close, or at least the business is really seeing momentum for a lot of solution providers out there. I wonder if you could share a little bit sort of the broad strokes of Tech Data Canada's cloud strategy and your thoughts in terms of the conversations you're having with solution providers here at the end of 2018 and how that conversation around cloud has evolved over the course of the last year.
Sounds great. Yeah, I'll kick it off and then I'll hand it over to Eric. So, you know, I liked your preamble there, and I would say how we talk about cloud internally certainly is that it's happening. It's finally happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we're starting to see that tremendous month over month growth and acceleration that we all had talked about for years, right? So the monthly recurring, the migration from entirely on premise to cloud, or probably more likely to hybrid environments. And it's exciting, you know. So again, because we've all talked about it for so long, that it's great to see it come to fruition. You know, from a Tech Data Canada perspective, and I'll step back and talk about Tech Data globally. Cloud is, if not one of the largest, probably the largest strategic initiative and area of investment for us as a global organization. So. Mm-hmm. The markets we cover now, including Asia Pacific, through our acquisition of Avnet, you know, we have a robust, strong, large global cloud team that's squarely focused on helping the partner community and the industry in general make that move to cloud in a number of different ways. How that lands in Canada is, our team focused on cloud here in country has grown significantly this past year, and we anticipate further growth, you know, just in terms of number of people that we'll be adding in our new fiscal year, which starts February 1st. Mm-hmm. And we're, even when we talk about cloud, we rarely actually now talk strictly in terms of cloud. We talk about either infrastructure or SaaS and monthly recurring, because they're very different selling motions. So we've also resourced against those two areas differently. It requires a different skill set, different knowledge base, and that business is obviously transacting differently and growing at different rates, but both growing exceptionally fast nonetheless. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's an exciting time to be part of it. And for me, what's exciting too is that, and Eric leads one of the teams who's doing this all day, every day. But, you know, what we're doing every day is actually putting into practice those consultation services to our partners and the end customers. We're not talking about capabilities and competencies that we're building. We actually have them, and we use them every day. So it's no longer a futures discussion. It's right. Happening now.
Yeah, I would absolutely echo that. I think that we are in the absolutely most interesting time in this industry right now. And what we're seeing a lot is that there's no lack of cloud solutions, right? We're seeing some very traditional OEMs that are coming out with their version of cloud and trying to have a play in the market as well, right? And we're seeing the partner community. And the partner community for us at TechData for a distribution company is very much represented by service providers, ISVs, managed service providers, and traditional resellers, right? So it's interesting to see that everyone is moving at a very different pace, right? We would say that we have some partners of ours that are well ahead of the curve, and we have some partners of ours that are trying to figure out where they fit in this new ecosystem of these new technologies, right? Mm. But no one is currently in denial or of the mindset that cloud is not here to stay and cloud is not a fad, right?
Yeah, you know what I was just going to add? It's no longer if I move my organization in that direction. Mm-hmm. It really is, when am I going to do that and how am I going to do it?
So acknowledging that there's, you describe a bunch of different types of partner roles and even beyond that kind of, ISV versus VAR versus MSP kind of different motions there. Even within one of those subcategories, there's a bunch of different ways that you could begin addressing cloud. But sort of broad strokes for solution providers who are still maybe in that when part, who are still figuring out their spot and, the best first steps to make. What do you see as some of the common kind of low-hanging fruit and easy places to start the business to get on the road to success with cloud?
Well, I'll turn it over to Eric in one moment, but what I'll say is we can also help from a cloud assessment perspective. We have a number of tools available to our partners that walk them through step by step in terms of what their environments look like today and that assess their own readiness in terms of helping customers migrate and the customer's state of readiness. So I don't know that there's a, and Eric will jump in, I'm sure he can speak about those that bubble up most frequently. There's not a straightforward answer for everyone.
Sure.
I think there are those areas where we would absolutely say don't make that your first move. don't put your own IP in the cloud. Wait until you're comfortable with other areas. But again, I think that's one of the great things about partnering with somebody like TechData is we can help from assessing that your state of readiness.
Exactly. I think that when it comes to the low-hanging fruit and the easiest foot in the door, so to speak, is really to focus on common business application and common business needs. These are things that you'll see recurring regardless of the end user. Right. So what I'm referring to are things like emails and you could have collaboration as well as part of that. Then you have your backup, your security. These are all things that you're going to traditionally see an infrastructure requiring. Right. These are your easiest foot in the door. And then we refer to that as kind of the low hanging fruit, and building from that, we should see an ecosystem. So if you're offering Office 365 as a very simple solution, which is recurring, what type of backup, what type of security, what type of migration tools can you utilize to start building a bit of an ecosystem from that point? And once we build that confidence with an end user, it's easier to have that next conversation of saying, well, this is great. Everything has been working fairly well in terms of these simple cloud solutions, if I can put it that way. Mm-hmm. Now let's start looking at moving some of the workloads over. We don't want to move your SQL. We don't want to move, these large, complicated pieces of technology. We want to look at some simple VMs, maybe an Access Directory, maybe things like a file server or a web server. And I think that that's kind of the natural progression that we would see. Quite often when a partner comes to us and says, I've had no success in the cloud, my very first question is, what have you sold? And quite often they've started in a too complex realm of cloud in order to build that business, because it brings all sorts of new complexities with these new cloud solutions.
What are some of those complexities that you see? What are some of the common struggles that you see solution providers facing, and what do you guys do to help address them?
I think some of the growing complexities are things or complexities that are more on the administrative and the operational side of things. I think that the concept of cloud is very simple to understand. Here's a solution that we will install and we will provide to you, and we will just bill you on a monthly recurring basis. I mean, as a consumer myself, I think about the amount of services that I have that function in that manner, and I have several of them. Right. From as ancient as things like your mortgage and your traditional electricity bills, yeah, down to your Netflix and your Spotify's, right? Yeah. But now, suddenly, we're talking that the majority of these partners transacting these new services tend to have a bit of an older internal system, right? So you're looking at things like maybe their ERP needs to be upgraded. Well, it's difficult to justify as a company to upgrade your ERP or install a CRM and spend all of these thousands of dollars when you're selling these small, minute SKUs that are now charging your customer $15 a month per user, right? It's not like you get these big pops of $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 orders where you can be significantly more profitable in one time, right? So I think the growing complexity there is really from the administrative, and there's several of them. I mean, we can go into tons of different examples. So what we do is that we bring a few different platforms. So we have two platforms when it comes to transacting cloud solutions. And I really think that that's the key word, is these are transactional and management platforms, right? So it allows the customer to do a traditional kind of shopping around, looking at different cloud services from the backup to security to Office 365 to Dynamics to full infrastructure to professional services, managed services, and et cetera, and just consume them in a very simple manner, add to cart, checkout. But really the icing on the cake comes from the management component that we have with these platforms. So Stream One, which is a proprietary software that we have, is the platforms that I'm referring to. Mm-hmm. I keep saying platforms, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But on the software as a service, we have one platform that's really well designed for that. So it allows the customer to have full API connectivity, and it allows the customer to also add and remove seats as they need. Too often do we get emails, or used to get emails back in the day, of my customer just told me I need to add 14 seats, choose a PO, please place these as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. No longer is that a conversation, because it could be at 9 o'clock at night, even if there's not someone at TechData that you can reach out to. You can go into the platform, place the order, and allocate all of these domains directly into the Microsoft portal, for example, in terms of Office 365, right? So one platform is very much designed around the software as a service. Our second platform is really designed around our infrastructure as a service. So based on consumption. So we're looking at Amazon Web Services. We're looking at things like IBM, Azure, et cetera. It allows the customer to see real-time analytics and real-time data and make these changes, and also offer a white label store to their customer. So their customer can have limited access, log into it, see a multitude of services. Even if these are not services that we offer, the customer has the opportunity to put his own services. Say it's a help desk. Say he has a different level of help desk, a tier one, tier two, tier three, with three different pricing models. He can add that to his platform. So his customer can log in, open tickets, and this is one simple platform to help remove that complexity. We kind of call it the digital warehouse, right? It's traditionally, we bring a lot of value in terms of our facility, in terms of our logistics. This is kind of the same approach that we're taking when it comes to cloud, is that we are a digital warehouse where we host all of these services and we take care of the logistics.
You touched on a little earlier, some of the changes from the partners face in going from sort of the traditional project kind of based partner, the big hunt, the big sale, and then rinse, wash, repeat kind of thing, to recurring revenues, which of course most cloud models are, as you point out. That looks really great if you're one of those partners two or three years out. But those first couple of years, we hear over and over again, can be pretty tough, just in terms of culture, both infrastructure of the company and sort of the sales culture with salespeople who are used to getting those big deals and not that sort of steady trickle that has the opportunity to grow over time as you add customers and add seats. How do you help partners address those challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest question that we come across, right? Mm-hmm. I think the market is changing as well as the technology, right? So both go hand in hand. The OEMs, the manufacturers, are no longer saying you will be profitable selling our products, They're saying you will be profitable selling your value that seems to be attached to our products.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a big difference. So quite often what I say to partners is, hey, if we're looking at Office 365, which is the low-hanging fruit and the easy foot in the door, don't charge your customer to do the migration per hour, because we have productivity tools, right? Mm-hmm. We have tools that will reduce the time of migration from 4 hours to half an hour, right? So if you're charging your customer per hour, you're actually selling yourself short because you're using these productivity tools. Mm-hmm. So the big shift is, instead of charging a customer per hour, start charging your customer per mailbox in terms of migration.
Right.
So instead of going to your customer and saying, we're going to charge you $90 an hour, or $110 an hour, we're going to charge you $150 a mailbox. And then hopefully with these productivity tools, what you start to see is a big shift in terms of revenue. And because you can migrate so many more mailboxes in a matter of X by using some of these tools, but you're still retaining your profitability by charging per mailbox.
I would also add that I think that there's absolutely a margin opportunity associated with that SaaS model. So, mm-hmm. you know, we look at, you know, are we selling or are customers buying a baseline Exchange Online SKU? And, you know, but what are their actual business needs? And so, you know, try to move them towards a more robust offering. And then, as Eric said earlier, wrap around some backup, some security, some SharePoint migration, if that's mm-hmm. Something that works for your customer. And then especially also, and I think, Eric, you touched on this too, what's the service and solution that the reseller is selling? Because ultimately what they're selling, if it's whatever the application is, you know, cloud is the delivery mechanism. And so I think increasingly, you know, we're seeing partners recognize that the value is in their own proprietary offering in terms of their service and support and whatever they're layering in, as opposed to just selling a SKU, you know. And if they can, you know, embrace that new motion and the efficiencies gained by it, right? You know, increasingly that part will become more self-serve and ultimately self-serve for the end customer. It will become increasingly efficient over time. Less hand-holding by the partner on a lot of that as well, which, you know, frees up their time to actually do selling of, like I said, those services that are ultimately going to be more meaningful to their customer than a baseline SKU.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. And I think that grows into a second conversation, which is customer retention, right, with how competitive the market is now. By offering a unique solution, your customer retention should significantly go up.
Well, and absolutely, and Eric, I mean, that's a strategy that we are banking on ourselves, right? So mm-hmm. over time, you'll see us come out with more customized, we have some now, but you'll see us come out with, at an accelerated pace, customized pre-configured solutions that are available only through Tech Data. Our small business cloud server would be an example of that, where mm-hmm. that was something Microsoft had previously offered. We created that ourselves in a cloud environment. And, you know, for us, we believe that that kind of approach is a differentiator and that extends to the partner as well, right? If they can extend those customized solutions easily and in a easily scalable format, then that's a differentiator for them as well.
All right, great. And Irene certainly hints at some of it there, but just to wrap things up for this, what are your thoughts on what partners can expect from Tech Data Canada on the cloud front over the, you know, sort of the balance of the year and into next year? What's coming down the pipe that you can talk about at this point in time?
So it's interesting you ask that because I've been working today on our forecast for next year. Mm-hmm. we're in our Q4 now. Our year ends in January, and so it's that wonderful time of year where we put together our projections for the coming year. And you know, I've done various jobs here at Tech Data a long time, and I've never actually myself contributed numbers so bullish in terms of growth year over year. And I'm surprisingly comfortable with the significant growth that we're writing into these numbers because of the commitment from the organization. So I think you'll see significant platform development. I talked about services and solutions. We didn't talk about our cloud and automation team and services available, and maybe when I'm done, Eric can speak a little bit about that because I think that's also a departure from what Tech Data would typically have offered. And so, you know, to more directly answer your question, Rob, I think what you'll see from us is services and offerings that you wouldn't necessarily expect from a distributor. So, like I talked about platform development and really the digitization of that, how that business transacts with all the different players within the industry. Again, providing, you know, friction-free, seamless access for our vendor partners, for the reseller partner, and ultimately that improves the end customer experience. Customized, pre-configured solutions, and increasingly, you know, I will also say this, actually, other strategic initiatives for Tech Data worldwide include security, data analytics, and IoT, and cloud, of course, is a common thread across all of those.
Yeah.
So you'll see more and more from us against those segments of the business, and of course, they're all growing at a faster than a traditional rate. So you'll see cloud continue to play a role in that, and again, the cloud and automation that I'm going to let Eric talk about in a little bit more detail, it's completely unique, and it extends our amazing capabilities out through the partner community to the end customer, which ultimately helps all of us deliver an exceptional experience to the end customer. Right. Eric, do you want to take a moment and just talk about that cloud and automation team?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the cloud has enabled us to be more customer-focused and oriented in terms of platforms and services and our overall approach than ever before. And with that came our cloud and automation team. Our cloud and automation team is exactly what it sounds like. These are professionals that have seen pretty much any use cases. It's a global organization owned by Tech Data. It's not a third party. And these are services that are capable of doing simple migrations or complex migrations. Mm-hmm. I refer to, you know, we can do VM deployments or we can do a whole SAP integration, right? And this is a, you know, at times a paid for service, mm-hmm. But it's meant to be an extension of the partner's services, right? And quite often you're going to see an example where the first few times they will engage with our services team to do some of these deployments. And through these services, they'll learn and they'll observe, train the trainer, so to speak, right?
Yep.
And eventually they'll grow to the point where they can do some of these migrations themselves and kind of fill that gap between what we're currently seeing in the cloud.
Brilliant. I appreciate you both taking the time. It's been a great conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Take care.
So there you have it, some sage advice on building a cloud business from Tech Data Canada's Irene Buchan and Eric Ledoux. I'd like to thank Irene and Eric for joining us for the show, and thank Tech Data Canada for their support of the site. And, of course, thank you for listening in today. We couldn't do this without you. We'll be back next Monday as we get an entirely different take on a distributor's view on the cloud, as we're joined by Greg Onoprienko, Director of Cloud for Ingram Micro Canada. But many of you may not know that before he joined Ingram as the first Canadian cloud boss, Greg ran his own solution provider business, and that was a business that underwent its own very early and very dramatic cloud journey. That's what we'll be talking about as we get advice from someone who's been there and done that on what he did, what went well, what he'd do differently if doing it all over again, and what all that means to you and your cloud journey in the current times. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.